Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. Thank you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you on the 12th of October, 2010. I don't know about you folks, but it's looking kind of spooky in my neck of the woods right now. There's dark clouds overhead and gusty wind blowing through the trees. So I think even the weather here is getting ready for Halloween, just as we are on our show. We have a great show for you today. It's our second Horror Film Month episode, and our guests are filmmaker Jim Townsend and actress H. Lynn Smith. Jim has written, directed, produced, and starred in Attack of the Vegan Zombies, one of my favorite indie horror flicks, and Lynn portrays a modern-day witch in the film. So it should be great fun to talk with him about this little horror gem. But first, let's see if Nikki Starr is ready to help with the show. Nikki, are all systems go in the chat room?
They are, and we are ready to talk about this movie.
I am certainly ready to talk about it. I've been ready to do that ever since I saw it, which is over a year ago. And thanks, Nikki, for taking care of the chatters and to all the people who have signed up for the chat, as well as our other listeners, of course. We really appreciate it. We also appreciate Jim and Lynn for taking the time to be with us today. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Jim.
Thanks very much, Betty Jo. Thanks for having us.
It's a treat to have you on the show. You know, we've had in the movies, we've had slow zombies, fast zombies, singing zombies. But as a practicing vegetarian, I'm pleased that vegan zombies are finally getting some screen time. And I want to thank you for that. We're also happy that Lynn could join us. Lynn, thanks for being here today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. You know, I have lots of questions for you both, so let's get started. Jim, where did the idea for Attack of the Vegan Zombies come from?
Well, I had just moved into a house in Richmond, Virginia, and I was talking to my new neighbors about my background in New York, where I came from, and I had worked on a lot of independent films, and they told me that they knew somebody who owned a vineyard, and they would be happy to let me film at their vineyard. And so I had some time that I could between Emmett, my son Emmett at the time was, God, he was just about a year, or not even a year and a half maybe, year old, and he was about to start school, so I had a little bit of time before I had to go back to work after he started school. So I had a brief window where I could make a movie. And so I went out to the vineyard, and I met the people there at Gray Haven Winery. Max and Dion, and they're just super, and they let us film there. So I literally, Taylor wrote the script for the location that was available to me because they had so many neat sets. And that's how it started.
Oh, my gosh, and the vineyard was such a key part of this film. Why don't you just give a little synopsis of the plot for our listeners who haven't seen it yet?
Sure. I'll try not to give anything away. Dion Bryant and her husband, Joe, are vineyard owners, and they're not doing very well. Their crops seem to be mysteriously not producing enough every year. So Dion asks her mother, who happens to be a witch, if she can put a spell on the crops to make them more prolific. And lo and behold, the spell backfires, and the crop begins to take on a life of its own. And the vines attack people, turning them into vegan, wine-thirsty zombies.
And you've got a bunch of college students that have been hired to help with the harvesting and they have to worry more about being harvested than the harvesting.
Yeah, what would a zombie movie be without the college students? Yeah,
that's right. You have to have the college students in it, and I was just so pleased with the quality of acting. Well, everything in this, because I know it's an indie movie, and you don't have a lot of money and a lot of time to make it, but you really put out, I thought, a quality product and one that you can be proud of. Even the sound effects and the quality of sound in this movie I thought was just first rate. And so I do want to thank you for Attack of the Vegan Zombies. And I do urge our listeners to order it. And I mentioned to you before we got on the air that we have put the cover of the DVD on our site, and listeners can click on that, which takes them to Amazon.com, but you have a better deal for them. Could you explain that deal a little bit to the listeners, Jim?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Betty Jo. If you go to www.attackoftheveganzombies.com, I'm running a deal where for $9.99, if you order the movie, and I'll sign it for you for free any way you want. It's a simple PayPal deal. And I'll put a dollar bill inside the DVD case before I mail it to you myself. So go ahead and take advantage of that deal.
That's an offer we can't refuse. So listeners, remember, you just go to www.attackoftheveganzombies.com, and you can order the DVD directly from Jim and get some money back and have his autograph too. Well, now, Lynn, why did you become interested in Attack of the Vegan Zombies?
I was contacted by the casting agent, Shannon Kane, and asked to come to an audition. And when she sent me the sides, I thought that they were fun and interesting. So when I got there, I sort of threw my all into it. And when I finished up the audition, which was one of the scenes in the movie, I gave a glare at Jim and at Shannon to kind of say, I can do this. And lo and behold, I got cast.
Well, your character was so believable, Lynn. I'm so glad that you got the role. Tell our listeners a little bit about the woman that you play in this film.
I play Audra, who's the mother of Dion, and Dion and her husband Joe own the vineyard, which Dion actually inherited from my husband, who is now dead. Audra never wanted to live at the vineyard. I have this very complex backstory that Jim knows. Jim may or may not know anything about, but I created this whole life story for my character. And when I ended up living at the vineyard with my small daughter and my husband, I was at that time a practicing witch, or Audra was at that time a practicing witch. And after my husband, Audra's husband, died, Dion inherited the vineyard. The crops continued to fail, and eventually Dion came to me and asked for my assistance, which, being her loving mother, I, of course, offered. But something that Dion and I did backfires, and the movie goes forward from there. It's she's an interesting character because she's not entirely a good witch or a bad witch, and she's got some wonderful characteristics that I felt she was a very strong woman. So.
And that came through loud and clear. Did you do anything special to prepare for your role? I hear you saying that you did develop a background story.
I did. I created a very complex backstory of her marrying Dion's father, and coming up with this wonderful romance, and how they had not always lived at the vineyard. He apparently bought the vineyard because it was his dream, not necessarily Audra's dream. And in my backstory, he basically took all of our life savings and put it into this vineyard without asking permission. And
if you're dealing with a witch.
Yes. That was the beginning of the backstory. So.
Well, it really worked. It really worked out for you, and I know you've given other performances. We did also put up on the site the DVD for HBO's acclaimed series, John Adams. I understand that you did have a role in that. Am I correct?
A very small, tiny traveler's role at the very end of the movie. No spoken words or anything else. I'm just a traveler on a coach with John Adams. It's fun. This was the first Attack of the Vegan Zombies was the first movie where I am actually portraying a principal character. I had a lot of work in background special extras and things like that, but this was a very new experience for me, and I thoroughly love being part of it the whole time.
Well, I'm glad that you were in it because you added quite a bit to the film, and I hope we see you as a principal character in many more movies in the future. And back to
Amen.
Jim, you must have had some challenges while you were making this film. What were the biggest challenges and obstacles you faced?
I wish I could say that it was just the money because, this was a, micro-budget indie film. But you can't buy time with money. So even if I had money, I was limited by time. And I would have really loved to have just about, a week or two with the cast on the set rehearsing before we started shooting anything. Because the performances of the actors got a lot better in the second week, especially like the younger college kids. Their scenes, they really came together, and the stuff that we shot with them in week two and week three was much better than the crowd scenes in the first week of production. I think time was my biggest obstacle.
And how long did you say that you had to film the movie?
We shot it in about 3 weeks. I wrote the script in 2 months, and then we had a couple of weeks of prep, and then, lining up the crew and the cast. And then, I think 22 days, 23 days, something like that, of photography.
Now, Jim, does that include,
wow.
This is Lynn, does that include the day spent for the big fire sequences?
Oh, no. That was
the drought was a problem, too.
This actually goes into your question about the amusing incidents. It was kind of funny because there was a terrible drought in the fall of 2007 in the East, but specifically in Virginia. It was pretty bad. And I had written in a large fire scene because at the location they have regular bonfires to just get rid of the flotsam and jetsam of the winery. And I thought, well, this will be great. I'll have this enormous 30-foot wall of flame, and I can write a big scene at the end there. It'll be a great climax. And so we shot everything except those night scenes, and then this drought took place, and there was a state law passed that would ban any kind of outdoor fires. So we couldn't shoot that scene until that was lifted. And it didn't get lifted until, I think, November. At that point, people were into Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then so I tried filming that scene again in January, and it poured rain the whole night. And my movie has the distinction of being stopped by both drought and flood for the same scene. So I thought that was kind of funny. Finally, we did get to shoot it again in the following July, I think it was, by the time we got everybody together again.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know that filmmakers do meet a lot of obstacles, but that one, I never heard of the floods and the fire.
Yeah, you have to sometimes...
Except there's a documentary out that was done by... Well, it's a wonderful documentary by Terry Gilliam about him trying to make the Don Quixote story.
The Don Quixote movie, sure.
Yeah, and every possible thing, you won't feel so bad about what's happening to you. Poor Terry Gilliam. I think that movie is underway again, but without
Johnny
Depp. I believe
he is going to
try and
get it done.
Yeah, I wish him well because that was, I think it was the Lost Man of La Mancha or something like that, the name of the documentary, but it was a terrific documentary. So how about you, Lynn? What was your biggest challenge or the biggest obstacle you faced related to this film?
The biggest obstacle I faced was actually not looking at myself in the monitor. I'd never, as I said, I've never been a principal in a movie like this. And Max and Jim kept turning the monitor so I could see myself while I was talking. And eventually I just learned to not look. And Max was very good. Max and Jim were very good about teaching me how to be right there with the camera, which I'd never done before. So that, for me, the biggest obstacle was acting with the camera and not against it, so to speak, and not being afraid of my face on the monitor.
That's Max Fisher, the photographer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be hard because you want to see how you're doing. But on the other hand, you don't want to go over the top with that. So mm-hmm. you finally conquered that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
Yeah, it was just, you know, for frame, so she didn't, you know, wander off the frame. If you're used to having a whole stage to walk around on,
yes.
You know, a camera frame can be kind of limiting.
Yeah.
You have some stage work, Lynn?
I've worked on stage for 40 years almost now.
Wow.
I've done a lot of stage work here in Richmond area. I work with local theaters, and so I've done a lot of stage work, yes, and not, in fact, more stage work than camera work. So, and I think at the beginning,
no wonder you have such terrific articulation, and that's one of the things I enjoyed about Attack of the Vegan Zombies was that everyone you could understand. You didn't need the subtitles. You didn't need to turn the sound up, you know, so that your neighbors would complain. And you don't see that, you know, a lot in some of the indie films. There's a lot of mumbling going on,
mm-hmm.
and that really upsets me. So mm-hmm. I want to compliment you for your articulation and
yeah.
diction, and I really appreciate that in movies. And I think that should be paid attention to a lot more than people do nowadays. But well, what were your most enjoyable experiences? I want to ask both of you that question. Jim, you go first. What did you enjoy the most about making this film?
The fact that I made one finally, and I've been working on so many other people's you know, news programs and movies and commercials and videos and things like that for 10 or 12 years. So it was just rewarding to be able to make my own movie. So the fun part for me was driving off the set at the end of the day's shooting. And just, I felt like I was driving the getaway car from a bank heist. I felt like I stole something. I knew we were getting some pretty good stuff every day.
Oh, that would be a good feeling. Well, you have credits on other movies. I noticed in your background information
mm-hmm.
some of the movies that were mentioned were Entropy, Season of
yeah.
Youth, and New World Order,
yeah.
and that you actually did work with Network News at CBS
yes.
in New York City, and mm-hmm. that you did you got your start at the Shooting Gallery. You did an internship there. What is the Shooting Gallery?
The Shooting Gallery is unfortunately defunct, but it was an independent film studio started in the early to mid '90s in Manhattan. Larry Meistrich was the president and founder, I believe. With this, Bob Goss and Bobby Vegas. What was his last name? I've forgotten. But anyway, I think the culmination was Sling Blade. They produced, but they've made
Now I remember where I heard that.
Independent films and shorts. Yeah, yeah. So but one of their movies that I worked on, let's see, Entropy, it was a Phil Juano movie that was one of their subdivisions made that. And The Eternal was a movie. Christopher Walken was in that one. And Jared Harris and Alison Elliott. That was a fun set to be on. Yeah, so David Buchel, who co-produced Sling Blade, also produced The Eternal. That was a tough set to work on, 18-hour days frequently, but it was a fun set. Nice
and
bunch
you
of
were,
guys.
And you were doing production work, production assistant,
a production assistant, and ultimately I worked my way up to, like, location manager on other jobs, and then production coordinator, production manager, and I got co-producer credit on a few movies as well.
Well, that was stands you in good stead then when you got to be writer, director, producer, and star.
Yeah, yeah.
In your own film, you're cool. Kind of a Orson Welles type, right?
Yes. with the glaring omission.
Well,
of the
you know, I
want
to see more. You know, I want to see more of your work. I put that in my review because you really know how to put things together and keep us in suspense. Do you have anything that you're working on now that you'd like to mention?
I write scripts for fun, but I don't have anything that I'm currently producing. I'd have to sell this before I have pay off the loan that I used to make this movie and. Then I can think about other movies, but I have to sell roughly about 10,000 copies, and then I'll have enough to pay off the loan and think about making another one.
Well, listen to that, people. If you can help Jim make another movie, if you buy a copy of Attack of the Vegan Zombies, and you won't be sorry if you do, because you'll really enjoy it, especially if you like horror films. So. We'll give you a big boost, I hope, by being on this show now. What about you, Lynn? What were your most enjoyable experiences while filming this particular movie?
Gosh, the whole thing was great for me. But I think learning the camera work, that anything I can do that teaches me stuff is good for me. But talking to Watt and Jim, Christy, Tiki, the makeup woman. Max, Eric, but I think the most fun I had on set was the night that we were trying to do the blood scene from my hand, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
The
yeah.
very first time that they set it up, Max and Eric, Max was under the table to do a special effect, and we had the rest of us all around the table, and I drop blood, but you drop it by squeezing. And they had put this giant blood pack in my hand, and the very first take, they said, squeeze it as hard as you can, and I did. Turned out I was stronger than they thought I was, and I squirted blood all over the room. And everybody jumped backwards. Everybody jumped back away from the table, but kicking Eric, who was under the table at the same time. So the zombie plant that he was controlling just went everywhere. I think I laughed about that for about 3 days, actually.
Yeah.
that particular thing didn't end up in the movie.
Yeah.
No.
But there was a lot of fun going on. My most fun sequence was the one in the attic, or in the barn attic. But
oh, that was great, yeah.
That was a very fun scene for me. Mm-hmm. So.
Was that your favorite scene?
I think that is my personal favorite scene in the movie, the one where we're searching through the books. Because there's a lot of revelations and information that comes out in that scene that surprised me when I first got that section of the script, and it's kind of a surprise to people when they see the movie. But it was a fun scene to film. So.
Well, what about you, Jim? Is that your favorite scene, the one that Lynn mentioned?
I like that scene an awful lot because there's a good reveal that I don't think people see coming. But my favorite scene was the one, I think a scene or two before that, where they're down in the tank room in the winery where there's the large, beautiful silver tanks and the green lights. That's the point where we see the zombie revealed in action fighting. And there's some fun one-liners in there and just a lot of action that I liked, and also visually I think it looks good too. It's one of the peaks of the movie for me, I think.
That's one of my favorites. That's a great scene. I'm glad that you selected that one as your favorite, because that's the one that I enjoyed the most too. Although there was so much to enjoy, it's hard really to pick. How did you select your cast and crew, Jim?
The cast, I hired Shannon Kane. She was referred to me by, I believe, Jay Kemp, who is a family friend down here. He knows, he does a lot of big budget work, so he knows everybody. And she said, in the time, I wasn't paying anybody, so she said, for the amount of time that we have, I can't get you 25 actors for each part. I can get you two or three people but I promise you that the ones I bring will be good, and they'll be the age appropriate and everything. So I said okay, and she did, and sure enough, the cast worked out great. One of the actors is my sister-in-law, Christine Egan. She lives in New York, so
she was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christine's terrific. I wish there were some songs in there too. You should hear her sing. She's got a wonderful voice.
Well, put her in your next movie.
Musical.
We can do a prequel sequel.
Yeah.
That's right. Do a musical. I mean, as the world's most avid movie musical fan, I definitely approve of that. Okay. I would like to hear Christine sing because she is a terrific actress, too. You know, we've been neglecting Nikki and our chatters, and I don't mean to do that, but you guys are so interesting to talk with. Let's check with Nikki and see if there are any comments or questions that, she'd like to bring up from the chat. Nikki, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
First of all, I just wanted to say I was reading some of the reviews, and you guys can order the movie, make sure you do it at attackofthevegansombies.com, really just like it sounds, attackofthevegansombies.com. So I was reading the reviews, and they're great, and I love that actually Betty Jo was quoted in there too, which is awesome. But I just wanted to read one out loud and then ask you a question regarding this. It says, this is actually a little excerpt from Timothy Brayton. It's customary to praise this kind of film for showcasing the filmmaker's promise. And Attack of the Vegan Zombies certainly does that, but it doesn't require such a backhanded compliment, for it is, despise their roughness, born from cheapness that no amount of talent can erase, one of the more interesting zombie movies to come down the pike recently. Okay, so that is a brilliant review.
Yay!
Because
I remember getting that. That felt great.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah,
he didn't. You know, he didn't ignore the fact that you have to acknowledge that this is a very low budget movie.
Correct.
But once you're okay with that, it's a lot of fun.
Yes,
and I love that. Yeah.
Then we have a question from chat because
you had a question too.
Yes, we had a question from chat because he had mentioned that the actors and actresses worked for free, and we have a lot of people who listen to this movie listen to the show, want to be movie makers. They do. Mm-hmm. And part of that's the reason that we love having people on who make indie films. So is that normal? Is that a normal thing for experience? Okay.
Yeah, I think for a film this size, I wound up spending about $35,000 on it. So, after you pay for your production insurance and you get the equipment and, some vehicles and things like that, you got to pay for food every day for everybody. So I did pay the crew. I paid, I think, four or five members of the crew were hired. But, they worked for essentially glorified production assistant rates. The actors, in the event that it turns a profit, will each get a portion of the profit. So if I do sell it, I'll get hopefully a couple $1,000 that I can pay each of the actors.
Yay.
But it's all based on how much, we earn from the movie itself.
Correct.
But I did not give any actors any money up front, unfortunately. I would have liked to. But
well, I'm not really sure that that's unfortunate because, when you love something, you do it even if you don't get paid. So to me, that just goes to prove the point that the actors loved what they were doing. Obviously, you too. So, that's what you're taught to do. If you want to find your dream in life and your dream job, if you had all the money in the world, what would you be doing if money didn't matter? Well, you would be obviously making movies. So.
And hopefully I can pay them with some exposure. They'll get out and they'll be seen by other people and they'll get other jobs. Let's hope.
Oh, yes. I think that's why so many actors are willing to do this because they do get the exposure. And you said something about if you sell the movie. Now, do you mean sell it to a distributor or?
Yes.
If
a distributor buys it, for X amount of dollars, I'll be able to pay off the loan and give everybody, a portion of whatever's left. That would be great.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed that you're able to do that, and if we can be of any help along those lines, just let us know because we do love to help the struggling indie filmmakers, especially if they are doing a good job at what they do, and you certainly are. Lynn, how would you describe Jim's directing philosophy?
I don't know that I know his philosophy. I know that as an actor, he was very, you know, when he directed me as an actor, he was very specific in what he was looking for, but soft-spoken and easygoing enough that I could approach it from my own direction and to get where he wanted me to go without having to really be difficult about, without him being feeling like he had to be difficult, I think. I thought he was soft-spoken but very direct with me, and I kind of, I enjoyed working with him because he didn't give me how to do my job. He told me what he wanted as an end result and let me get there. Does that make sense?
Great. Well, sounds like a good directing philosophy if that's what he was aiming to do. Is that your philosophy, Jim, the way
never
that
sounded
it expressed
so,
it?
I've never sounded so smart before. That's terrific. I didn't realize how deep I was. I didn't know I had a philosophy.
Well, let's put this right back to Lynn. What's your acting philosophy? I mean, you've been doing a lot of stage work and appearing in as extras and in small roles in TV. What is your personal acting philosophy?
Find something that resonates within me, something that resonates to the character. It may not be that a character that I like, but if there's always something, you know, if you're playing somebody who's mean or ugly or somebody who's really beautiful and sweet and generous, I would find it difficult to play a saint because I know I'm not a saint, but if I found something in me that resonated to that, I would amplify it to the stage or for the camera or whatever. But then that's the first part, is to amplify it and then kind of fill it out a little bit, but then leave it. Don't take it home with me. I learned that early on. Uh-huh. I can't afford to take it home with me. You know,
you can't
you
live
play,
the role 24/7.
I live the role where you are.
I like that philosophy. That sounds great. And you can live your own life, and yet you can still get into the character when you have to, and it's not making you schizophrenic. So,
and the other thing is, you know, do it because you love. As you were saying, and Nikki was saying, do it because you love to do it. And the only reason that I've done this since I was 16 years old, and I actually told my mom when I was 2 I was going to be an actor, but the only reason that I've been able to continue doing this is that I love acting. I love all of it. So.
Well, you can tell, and that comes through in the way you're answering the questions and your enthusiasm, and we can certainly tell that this is your niche that you do love to do it well. As you both know, this is Horror Film Month on Movie Addict Headquarters, so I simply have to ask each of you if you have a favorite horror film, in addition to Attack of the Vegan Zombies, of course. Lynn, you get the first dibs here.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
It's not so much a horror movie, but my very favorite is the original black and white The Haunting with Julie Harris and Russ Tamblyn.
Good choice.
It's so subtle. I like all of the subtle horror movies that don't show you everything but leave it in your mind for the rest of your life, apparently.
Yes, it has lasted quite a while, hasn't it? That's a really good choice. How about you, Jim?
I'd have to say Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. It was just so creepy, so weird. You know, the Norman Bates character is just great. I don't know what he was in his blood, you know, but, God, Alfred Hitchcock could make things so creepy and so good.
I agree wholeheartedly. We did a tribute to Alfred Hitchcock on Movie Addict Headquarters, I think during our first year. And we also had Tippi Hedren on, and she talked about working with Alfred Hitchcock in The Birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so interesting to hear her talk about how he worked. And that he was the master of suspense, and his horror film, Psycho, well, I still see that house, you know, where Norman Bates lived and the mother. And, again, there's a film that stays with you after after it's all over. Well, let's get back to the vegan zombies for a minute here. What type of reception have you received? Now, Nikki read a great review that you've gotten, and I certainly gave it a 2 thumbs up. But have you? But you haven't paid off. You haven't paid everything off yet. So, what are you doing to make sure that that more people get to see it?
Well, I struck out on the film festival circuit. I'm a lousy salesman, apparently. I couldn't get into any film festivals. The people who see it seem to enjoy it. So I'm going to do some advertising with a group that puts little those 250 by 300 pictures on different horror websites. So I think they've got something like 50 or 60 websites, and they'll run the ad there. So hopefully that'll generate some sales and possibly get me an invitation to a film festival.
That would be wonderful.
But I'm comforted by the fact that people who have seen it seem to like it. I've done a couple of local screenings, and it seems to be received well. And critically, it's getting pretty good.
Well, and are you still doing the zombie walk?
That's right. How could I forget about that? The New Jersey Zombie Walk. I got invited to the New Jersey Zombie Walk, so I'll have a table there October 30th in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Great, the Zombie Walk. That sounds great. So is that just for filmmakers, or is it something for the general public?
No, there's apparently quite a few people who like to go in these zombie walks. They dress up like zombies, and they stagger or they hop, whatever kind of zombie walk they want to do. They put on makeup, and we're going for a world record, apparently, in Asbury Park on October 30th. I won't be dressing up, but I'll be there trying to sell some DVDs and hand out some flyers and spread the word about Attack of the Vegan Zombies.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. And I kind of cut Nikki off. I'm sorry about that, too, but she's not shy, so I'm going to ask her again if there's anything else or any other questions that she would like to ask you or Lynn. Go ahead, Nikki.
No, interestingly enough, I'm not shy, and I control my own mute button, so it works out really well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's no more questions in the chat, but I just have one more question before Betty Jo drops her big one that she asks on everybody. My question is, would you do it again?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good answer.
I would much rather try and fail, even if, if I never sell it and I have to pay off this debt by working, putting off retiring an extra year or two. I'd much rather try and fail than never have tried to do something.
Thank you. I love that.
Yeah, that is great. How about you, Lynn? Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah. I love doing it. I would do it again. I'd do it again, for the same pay.
It totally encourages me, and I love it. I love talking to people who love what they're doing. So.
Yeah, we do love that on Movie Addict Headquarters. And Nikki was talking about the big one, drop the big one. This is the question that we like to ask everyone.
Now I'm nervous.
On the show. And it is a big one. And this is the question that I'd like both of you to answer. What's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work? So, Lynn, ladies first on that one.
That I love it. And I hope to be doing it till the day I die, and I'm available. That's pretty much it. I love it. I love it.
That is a great answer. What about you, Jim? What's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
That I'd like to keep doing it. I mean, if I could just make a decent living, I don't have to make a bazillion dollars or anything, but just earn enough to, basically, like the price of a full-time job, essentially, and make one movie a year. That would be so much fun if I could just
pay the bills and buy groceries.
Yeah, pay the bills. And, if I had, like $50,000 left over per year, I'd be happy as a clam.
Yeah.
That will be our wish for you then. All of our Movie Addict Headquarters gang will be making that wish for you. Well, we have a couple of minutes, and if you have anything else you'd like to add about the movie or yourselves, now would be the time to do it. Jim, anything else you'd like to add, or have we pretty well covered it?
It's very well covered. I would like to add thank you to my wife, Erin Egan, of course, and my son, Emmett, and my in-laws, Maureen Egan and Gil, for helping me. They loaned me their van and helping out so much. And thanks to the cast and crew for helping me have a chance to finally make a movie.
That's very, very, very nice of you. And we thank them, too, because we like the movie so much. So, Lynn, anything else you would like to add?
Thank you to Jim for casting me. Thank you to Shannon for getting me to the audition. But basically, and thank Max and Dion, the people who own Greyhaven Winery, were wonderful hosts to us. And the cast and crew were fantastic. I loved working with everybody. But I also want to take a little bit of time to thank you and Nikki for having us on and giving us a chance to talk about more of what we love to talk about.
Yeah.
So thank you very
much. I like that answer. Lynn, and thanks so much to you and Jim for being such terrific guests today. And I hope you'll both come back when you have other projects that you'd like to talk about. Will you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I keep trying, every time I see Jim, I try to talk him into doing a prequel sequel, you know, that's
yeah.
both together.
I vote yes on that.
All right.
Well, excellent, excellent. It's been great having you both on our show, and I urge all our listeners to check out Attack of the Vegan Zombies. It really, really is a fun way to get ready for Halloween. But it's time to wrap up the show, so here's a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support. Special thanks to Mickey Starr for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen. And thanks also to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time when we'll be discussing Dead and Breakfast, a horror film musical. Just think Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Shaun of the Dead. Joining us will be star Ever Carradine, music man Zach Selwyn, and director Matthew Lutweiler. It should be a fun show, but again, not for the faint of heart. In the meantime, don't you forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, I'm going to change the routine a little bit, and because we were talking about zombies, I'm going to have Footloose take us out, because I would certainly like to see a movie with zombies dancing to Footloose. If I can find it. Here it is. Kenny Loggins. Get ready, everyone. Footloose.